You know, I get asked all the time by people when it comes to this auditing or voting or election integrity, what can I do? That's the number one question, that what can you do as an individual to make a difference? I'm going to help you with that, but it all starts with election integrity. I'm going to talk about the slime and the crime and the gunk that has to do with our elections. But more importantly, I'm going to make this episode about you, because you need to understand what election integrity is, and you have to decide if you personally are committed to election integrity. We'll get started right after this.
They use their media to assassinate real news. They use their schools to teach children that their president is another Hitler. They use their movie stars and singers and comedy shows and award shows to repeat their narrative over and over again. And then they use their ex-president to endorse the resistance, all to make them march, make them protest, make them scream racism and sexism and xenophobia and homophobia, to smash windows, burn cars, shut down interstates and airports, bully and terrorize the law-abiding, until the only option left is for the police to do their jobs and stop the madness. And when that happens, they'll use it as an excuse for their outrage. The only way we stop this, the only way we save our country and our freedom, is to fight this violence of lies with the clenched fist of truth. I'm the National Rifle Association of America, and I'm freedom's safest place.
Stretch your mind. It's that time again to yank your brain away from stinking thinking and wash it in new ideas and thoughts. It's time for your checkup from the neck up and maybe a massive mental enema. This yank is going to give your brain a crank, has been called a genius, since his patents are part of every mobile device made. Get ready for him to reach into your ears and massage that brain of yours. Your host, Jovan Hutton-Pulitzer.
Hey folks, Jovan here. Normally when I use that saying, a mental enema, I'm talking about squeezing the mainstream media shit out of your ears. It's a traffic jam of mainstream news, diarrhea of junk, and if you're going to understand what's going on, you have to basically clear the logjam. Pardon the impression, but this particular mental enema is for you. Because you may not be thinking correctly about what election integrity means, what these audits mean, and what it has in store for our future. If you've never really focused on me having a frank discussion with you, I want to tell you right now, this is a frank one-on-one discussion with you. You need to understand what is going on and what happens behind the scenes for all of those fighting for election integrity. I want to lay it out to you so you can understand when people jump into this fight, and people jump in at different reasons for different things. You know, we've seen newscasters leave broadcast networks because they say they just can't keep going regurgitating this crap they know is wrong. You'll see people like Patrick Byrne and, you know, Overstock.com step out there and do it. But have you ever thought about the ramifications of, one, coming out as a conservative, and two, what it can mean to you career-wise and really what you're putting on the line? You know, you see teachers getting booted out of class because they defend a conservative idea. But if they hold up Antifa, well, they get promoted. This is why you don't hear police or firemen or judges or some of these people speaking out, because there's consequences. For me, as an inventor and understanding that most venture capital, if not all of it, is almost exclusively money from left-leaning or very left folks. I had to make a decision into jumping off in this fray that I could very well never actually have another venture-funded deal go just because I was willing to come out as a conservative and stand for the issues I stand on, which is election integrity. It's no regard as to my body of work and some impressive work in healthcare and helping people get the right cancer treatment that will actually work for them that I personally think is Nobel Prize worthy. More than likely, I will never, ever be considered for it. Why? Because I came out as a conservative. See, that's how it works. You can just watch some of this stuff on like Wikipedia. Look up conservatives and see the junk that's written about them, or people like me that get populated, depopulated all the time, but it's trash. It's never our body of work, because that's the way the system works when it's under the control of the left, because they want to control what you think. They want to punish those who speak up for everyone. And then they want to sell you a lie that they're speaking up for everyone. So there's a punishment. There's a price, a very, very deep price to pay when somebody stands up and comes to the forefront of making sure that we have election integrity. Now, I want to draw a few lines for you so you understand what I'm saying. Election integrity has to do with, does your vote count? And is your vote sacred? That's it. Nothing more. Election integrity is not about parties. It is not left. It is not right, other than it is what's right to do. And so when I talk election integrity, I am not talking about reinstalling a past president or a current president or booting a president or anything like that at all. I'm just talking about, does and did your vote count? It's a civil rights issue, not a voting issue. Were your civil rights violated when you walked in to vote and you find out that something happened and your vote was changed, modified, sideswiped, forgot about it, or whatever the case may be? That's a civil rights issue. And civil rights issues have nothing exclusively to do with skin color, sexual orientation, or religious freedom. Anybody could walk in that door and it'd sound like a bad joke. What happened if you had a transsexual, a brown man, a black man, a yellow man, a Jew, or whatever walk in to vote? It would sound like that, because it has to do with everybody. There is no sides when it comes to election integrity. And that's why I want to have a very serious discussion with you about election integrity and about where we are today in what's going on. Now, the absolute fantastic news is, I think it's now either 12 or 14 of these great states of the United States have taken the time to come to the Arizona audit to understand firsthand what's going on. Now, of course, you understand the wars just like any other war, because the left, even before they even knew anything of what was going on, started calling the Maricopa audit the fraudit. And it's all about words and tokenism and everything else just to make those with mushy minds believe mushy stuff. And that's what I really want to drill down on you. Do you have a mushy mind? Now, your mind could be in the right place. You could be all for election integrity. You could be all for conservative values. But are you still on the fence and or are you of a mushy mind? And that's a serious question. Because when it comes to the war for election integrity, I believe people either have to pony up or they just ride off into the sunset with their eyes closed. Now, let me give you some definitions of what I consider election integrity, so we can find common ground of what I'm talking about so that we might have a transparent discussion. When I say election integrity, what I mean is very simply that you, the voter, with no regard for how or where you voted, that means in person, by mail-in ballot, at a city precinct or whatever the case may be, with no regard for that. Did your vote, when you cast it, did two things happen? Two things. Number one, was your vote counted? And there should be no varying degrees there. There should be no, well, we counted half of your vote. There's no fractional votes. So did you cast a vote and did it count? However, in today's society, we have to make sure that the second part occurs. And did your vote count exactly the way you cast your vote? And that means whoever you voted for, that person got your vote. Now, I get a lot of questions about these machines, and one of the questions the other day was, they're not allowing down-ballot tickets. Can't we do that? Meaning you click once and you vote for everybody in your class. Meaning if you're Republican, it votes all Republican. Meaning if you're Democrat, it votes all Democrat. A lot of states have outlawed this. Now, why have they outlawed this? They've outlawed this because they realize that inherently on the right, conservatives are lazy. Don't get up in arms yet till you understand what I'm saying. The right tends not to be as politically active as the left. And so if you have to go down and there's, you know, 150 options on a ballot between front and back and judges and all that other crap, or 50 or even what it is, you tend to get lazy and, okay, I'm done with this. And you don't flip it over to the other side to some of the things that really matter, like judges. And so they're left open. The left part of society counts on that. But also the left side of society counts on the fact that they're particular constituents are very politically active and will do what it takes to vote every damn oval on the page for the party. And so this is how the politicking of ballots work for or against parties. Some of the other things when you understand about our voting systems, like when it comes to protecting your identity, those ballots are sacred and we don't want your name out there and they'll see it. Well, number one, that's horseshit because your name isn't on the ballots. But it's a much deeper fight than that. They use the catchphrase privacy to alarm people that, hey, your stuff will be dug up and people will see it. Well, it's not that people will see it. It's the fact they don't want people to see it. So they use this catchphrase of privacy, because a lot of people are still living in the 80s and think everything online is 100% dangerous and you can't do it. And so privacy has become the tip of the spear in why you can't look at it. But let me give it to you from another angle. Every single ballot in the United States can be 100% encoded to the exact voter at the exact place where they vote. Now, you'll hear them say, well, that's a violation of privacy because you're revealing who you are. No. Actually, if they code the ballot to the person, only the Secretary of State has that information. And it's held private by federal law, and they're the only ones that can match it. They're actually doing it anyway. When they verify your ID as the voter, it drops into the system. So they do a little smoke and mirrors here. And the reason they don't want it on the ballot to begin with is not because it can release your ID. It can't. It's because if they were to enact those laws, and if a deep forensic audit was to be done, and then, by law, the ballots had to be matched to make sure they were a human, you would find ballots with codes that had no humans to go with them. That's what it is, folks, and that's how it works. And so there's a lot of deception in our voting system. It's no one person, no one company, no one thing. It's just the system. It's been this way forever. And if you've listened to me before, you've heard me explain. Hell, the first big mail-in ballot challenge clash that all the newspapers carried, no, it wasn't the 2020 election. It was like in 1865 or 4 or whatever it was, and the second election of Abraham Lincoln. This has been going on forever. And so election integrity to me, besides those two things, means it's damn well time to get it shut, stopped. Every fallacy, every broken thing, every nebulous, incredible, deceptive crap that can go on in voting, we have the technology to fix it. We can do this. It's like the old show, The $6 Million Men. We have the technology to fix this, make them bigger, better, and faster. We can do it. But there's no incentive to do it. And the reason there's no incentive to do it is because it's a tool of politicians. And I personally think voting should be the voice, the will, and the tool of the people to make sure the people get the correct politicians, not that politicians get to use it to control the people. And that's why when we come back, I am going to ask you a very tough question about how serious are you about election integrity? We're going to drop some of these topics in data bins, and we're going to look at them so you can identify what you are. Because you can't act on things, and everybody asks, well, what can I do? What can I do? You can't act on things if you don't understand what drives you and where you come from. And that is what we're going to discuss right after this.
Do you know why Joe Vaughn loves doing talk radio? Because he has a face made for radio. It's true. Look at his website. He's a nerd hiding out in a biker's body. Speaking of body, how about a quick pee-pee break? Joe Vaughn will be right back.
You can find Joe Vaughn on Twitter at Joe Vaughn H. Pulitzer.
His website and blog are the same. Just go to JoeVaughnHuttonPulitzer.org.
He is on Facebook too. Just go to Facebook.com/JoeVaughnHuttonPulitzer. You can find Joe Vaughn on YouTube, Gab, MeWe, Parler, Telegram, and more. Just search hashtag Joe Vaughn Hutton Pulitzer.
Talk about a unique name. Joe Vaughn is very unique. Did you know the name Joe Vaughn harks back to the time of Christ? It is of Hebrew and Latin origin, and the meaning of Joe Vaughn is God is gracious, Father. Joe Vaughn in Latin origins means Jove-like or majestic. In Roman times it was the name for Jupiter. In mythology Jupiter was the supreme deity of Roman mythology, corresponding to the Greek deity Zeus. Now you know why Joe Vaughn is such an oddball.
Imagine on one side your mother's grandfather long ago was Richard III, Duke of Gloucester, and a knight of the most noble order of the Garter. Then on his father's side Joe Vaughn is related to American founding father, the principal author of the Declaration of Independence, and third president of the United States, Thomas Jefferson. Talk about controversial family history. No wonder Joe Vaughn is such a firebrand. Let's get back to the oddball.
They use their media to assassinate real news. They use their schools to teach children that their president is another Hitler. They use their movie stars and singers and comedy shows and award shows to repeat their narrative over and over again. And then they use their ex-president to endorse the resistance. All to make them march, make them protest, make them scream racism and sexism and xenophobia and homophobia, to smash windows, burn cars, shut down interstates and airports, bully and terrorize the law-abiding, until the only option left is for the police to do their jobs and stop the madness. And when that happens, they'll use it as an excuse for their outrage. The only way we stop this, the only way we save our country and our freedom, is to fight this violence of lies with the clenched fist of truth. I'm the National Rifle Association of America, and I'm freedom's safest place.
Okay, It's like Albert Einstein said, anyone who's never made a mistake has never tried anything new. And we cannot solve our problems with the same thinking we used when we created them. Let's get back to the show.
That is exactly what I am all about, is I just want you to think about these things, maybe for the first time in a brand new way that you've never thought of them before. It is very easy to point the finger of blame, and it is very easy to sit back and expect others to rescue you and then just wait for it to happen. But that is not how change comes about. At some point in time, you have to activate yourself. Have you ever thought about activating yourself? Do you know what it means to become a multiplier? I want to turn you in to a multiplier. And in order to turn you into a multiplier, a magnet, you have to take steps to make it happen and to make it become habit. It's like getting in the habit to listening something like this or reading something that you like or makes sense and sharing it. And not just sharing it conveniently where you are, but copying the URL, which we all know how to do, and sharing it to other social media. That's called the multiplier. Now, socialist media and liberals use that very tactic against conservatives because they understand how to harness the power of social media through magnification. Now, it works very simply. It's called candle power. You know candle power. It's basically back in the old days, the Paul Revere days, when everybody read by a single candle and it was very expensive and you had to conserve it and it was very dark. Hell, I don't even think if I lived back then, I could even read. My eyes would be shot, right? Trying to read in darkness. I like nice, bright, white light. However, what they found they could do is they could replicate a candle and magnify it, then you could get some wattage. You could get some really, really bright lights, right? And it's why there's a candle in the home to read way back when, or a lighthouse that was just a huge bonfire on top of the rocks that the ships could see. That's candle power. Now, the same thing goes with thought and people. You are either a candle in the wind, flickering around, on and off, being blown out, easy, fighting to stay lit, or you become part of a collective and combine into candle power and create an amazing spotlight, searchlight, rescue light, signal light, you name it, they all deal in candle power. And that is why everybody needs to basically make a decision. Are you going to become a multiplier? Now, here is what I mean. Now, I used this example and when I talked the other night on Facebook, and then when I did an interview, I introduced a term that most people don't know, and it's called JUFO, hashtag J-U-F-O, right? J-U-F-O. So UFO with a J in front. And it said JUFO. And I introduced the term called JUFO journalism. And basically, when it comes to JUFO journalism, it basically means these journalists that talk about these audits or stuff that's going on in Arizona that absolutely know nothing about it, right? And what they do is they just sit back, bitch and complain, and don't understand what is the technology, what's really being done, and what are you looking for? Like when they bitched and moaned about UV lights, looking at papers for certain things. They basically tried to make the world believe it was just all bogus crap. And that's based on JUFOism. And JUFOism is based on those people that are just there and are just fucking observers. J-U-F-O. Just fucking observers. And it comes from the exploration world. And if you know anything about me, you know I've done explorations all around the globe. I've almost drowned. I've had air crashes. I've had automobile crashes. I've been shot. I've been stabbed. I've been trapped in an avalanche, all kinds of other stuff, right? And so I've been there and done it and been around the world. And in the exploration world, there was a term of JUFOs, and it's basically the first time people coming out. And, you know, everybody wants to offer their 2 cents, but even those people don't have 2 cents to offer because they're just a fucking observer. They don't understand it yet. They don't understand the reasons why certain things are done. Or they look at something and goes, that looks weird, and that's a piece of trash, and that's garbage, and it doesn't work. But because they're just a fucking observer, and they're only expressing their JUFO, not their real knowledge, they comment and they mush people's minds because they don't have the knowledge base. I'll give you a prime example. One of the top U.S. spy planes was notorious that when it was sitting on the ground, it would spew fuel all over the tarmac. Imagine your car, when you fill it up, it's leaking underneath. Not only would you think the car was broke, you would know it was pretty damn dangerous. If it hit a cigarette, boom, you'd blow up. Well, the press, even back then, and the JUFO journalist would just basically attack this plane when it was first introduced, that's a piece of crap, doesn't work. And what they didn't understand is there's stages in that example of technology, which like applies to auditing, there's stages of why you design things certain way. Well, that particular plane, when it set on the tarmac, did in fact rain fuel all over the place. And it only needed enough fuel to get up in the air and then to get up to high altitude, and then another plane would come, drop its hose, and fill up the spy plane. Fill it back up all over again. Right? Sounds inefficient, doesn't it? Well, no, the secret of the technology was that then after the plane was filled, when they basically pushed the throttle down and hauled ass, right, at supersonic speed, the airplane would stretch. Yes, the airplane would become larger and longer. It would stretch. And when the plane stretched at supersonics, all of the circuits became sealed. And then it was a high performance, incredible rocket streaking across the sky. Now, why is that? Well, if everything was sealed properly on the ground and tight and nuggled up, when the plane hit speed and the plane stretched, the plane would rip itself apart. And that's why in today's society, this JUFO journalism abounds. Because society no more digs deep to find facts, to understand the why and hows. It's just everybody wants to point fingers, point blame, and engage in JUFOism. So now I'm turning this back to you, because there is JUFOism even if you're like right above the target. And what it means is, are you just an observer? Which is totally okay. Some people don't want to or like to engage in things. They just want to observe. And so they're silent observers, which is totally fine. If that's how you're wired, that is fantastic. Hopefully you gather something in what you observe and you share it with other people. Or maybe you keep it to yourself or share it with your kids or whatever. Or you draw some value for it. Then there's JUFOs that are just observe, but then they want to give everybody else advice. But in reality, they don't do anything themselves. They want to tell you what to do. They want to tell you how to think. But they don't actually do anything themselves. That's like a lot of journalists. They want to mush your mind and tell you what to think and how it should be thought. Like I mentioned earlier, instead of the Arizona audit, they come up with a catchy word and call it the fraudit and think you think that's it, right? Some people think you actually get your news from social media. No, you don't. You get clues from social media. And then you should go dig deeper to find out the rest of the story to understand why the supersonic rocket plane stretches and why that design feature is the way it is. And then you'll be an informed journalist or person. So you can be a JUFO that tells other people what to do. Then you can be various lines that start to get more intense. I personally think a definition of a patriot, in my book, this is just me, that a patriot is not only somebody that accepts the laws as they should be, our Constitution, and protects this country, but actually takes steps to make sure that those laws and freedoms and everything else stay protected. See, I think being a patriot is not just a mindset. I think you're just a freedom lover, right? If you love freedom and you love, you know, your various freedoms you have. But I think there's another step up, and that's when you become a patriot. And I think a patriot is just like in 1776 when people took up arms, and that's not what I'm saying, but taking up action is what I'm saying, that you become a patriot. And a patriot defines you as you're willing to do stuff. Now, I'm not talking like Antifa, right? Who will throw Molotov cocktails and hit people with crowbars and stuff like that. That's just a joke. That's lazy. That's nothing. That's intimidation. And intimidation never sticks. It always falls. Stick-to-itiveness, for the right reason and ethics and morals, is what makes it stick. And that is why all those countries hate our country, because that's how we were founded, and it was done ethically, morally, and right, with rules, and for the greater good, and it stuck. Now they want to tear it down, right? They absolutely want to tear it down. I just laugh every day when I look at, like, Google News headlines, and all I'm reading about is how, you know, the ugliest man on earth that was a wrestler has now become a woman, right? Some of the stupidest stuff in the world that have nothing to do, is it really news or important to society, but they feed it back to you in headlines that, like, that's what's important. That's not what's important. That's what the current agenda is, to blend your mind in a digital blender of media and turn it into useless pulp. And so that's why when I talk about election integrity, I'm talking to you exactly about, have you ever decided where your line was? Right? Now, even back in December, I was telling people, do not go to Washington, D.C. Go back. Look at my Twitter. Look at all my stuff. I was saying, do not go to Washington, D.C. because it's a setup. I harped about it for weeks and weeks and weeks. It's a setup. It's a setup. It's a setup. It's dangerous. Don't go. Now, some people can get in the moment and do certain things and have the right intentions, but not see the bigger picture, the bigger cause and effect. And so when it comes to being activated or being a multiplier, you have to understand what's the end game. I'll give you an example. If you only thought short term about showing up somewhere to quote unquote protest, did you think about what would happen after the fact if the system got a hold of it and used it against you? So that was kind of a little bit of short term thinking that backfired on conservatives, normal people, whatever the case may be, because you expected the system to be like you, true, ethical, moral, etc. And you walked into a situation with a government that's not that, and therefore the very people that walked in with guns or broke in, they let go. The people with Antifa or BLM, they let go. And you, if you went, you got in trouble and you've been thrown into the jail and been held there forever. So you have to understand what's your end game. What are you trying to do? What are you trying to accomplish? Because the true accomplishment here is making sure your vote counts. Because we now all know with our eyes open that if your vote isn't counted in the first place, it's all for naught. And if your vote isn't counted exactly the way you intended it to be voted or cast, it doesn't matter. And as I've told everybody, if America goes down, the world goes down. It goes back into oblivion. And so now I'm asking you to give a long, hard thought to what type of patriot you are. And I want to give you a few classifications. These are only my opinions. You can throw them out. You don't have to abide by them or anything, but this is how I look at it. If you are a person that now believes that your vote doesn't matter, fuck it, I'm not voting anyway, then you are part of the problem. Now, why is that? Because we have to vote. Part of the psychological war going on is it's not just making votes not count. It's to convince you your vote doesn't count, and you'll just stop voting. But the people on the left won't stop voting. And that's how it works. They want to psych you out of it. It's a taunt. It's a tease. It's a sleight of hand. And so if you have made up your mind that, screw it, my vote doesn't count anyway, I'm not voting, you now are part of the problem. You have bought into the zombieism. You are infected. You are now the walking dead and dooming the rest of us to eventually be the walking dead with you. I ask you to reconsider that fact, because now you should vote more than ever. You know what you should do? You shouldn't wait for a damn presidential election. Every time an election's held in your town, you should know who the candidates are, and you better be voting. Because this didn't happen from the top down. This happened from the bottom up on our watch. See, and it's all a matter of perspective. Now maybe you understand even the smallest of votes count, and you better start voting in everything. School board, fucking dog catcher, I don't care. You better start voting. Don't walk away. Now, the next thing about a patriot is, you know, we all have that mama, papa bear mentality. If somebody did something to our kids, that we would come unglued, right, and defend our family. Have you ever thought about the different ways to defend your nation, other than joining the military? Have you ever thought about the ways and the things you might need to do to defend your way of life or defend your freedoms? And I'm not talking about taking up weapons to take lives. I'm talking about the various information, communication, and action weapons you have to make sure that freedom remains and the great country that you love remains. And so when we come back, we are going to talk about what really is freedom. And if you're a patriot, what are the three or four key nonviolent ways you can make sure that our country doesn't go to hell in a handbasket? And you're going to have to ask yourself, do you have what it takes to be a warrior? Do you have what it takes to be a warrior for truth? And are you willing to be a warrior for your way of life? During the break here, I want you to think about it. What would you do? And that's what we're going to talk about. And I'm going to play you that wonderful tune that was written for me. I can't believe it, called Our Warrior. I want you to think about it, because when we come back and I do a close, I want to get very serious about what type of patriotic warrior are you right after this.
Your host for this program is Jovan Hutton Pulitzer, the internet pioneer who created Scan to Connect and Scan Commerce. You know, while you're able to scan codes with your mobile device and get information. So hang tight, we'll be right back.
Scan the our courage, you're our voice. Jovan, we thank you for what you're fighting for. You're our warrior. You are brave like a lion. You're David fighting Goliath. Couldn't ask for more. You're our warrior. Think of what you've done for you, for me, for our country. You'll go down in history as our warrior.
Did you know Jovan gets fingered by almost 1 billion people a day? Yep, that's every time they use certain features on their mobile device and click it with their finger to make it work. And they don't even know his weird brain came up with that. Now back to the show.
So we've been talking about what is election integrity, and are you committed to election integrity, and are you one of these going to pony up, or are you just going to ride off, and are you willing to become a multiplier? Why become a multiplier is because you're watching history happen right before your eyes. I personally think that all of us were chosen to be here. I can tell you all of my experience and technology and work experience have led me to this point in my life. when I came up that you could scan a code, a barcode, or any code, and that'd be the best, fastest, quickest way to get to the internet, even when people told me I was freaking crazy, that why wouldn't somebody just put in a website? It's just as easy. And now it's just the way that everybody does it. You see it on every product, every brochure, every ad that's out there. You see the codes, and it's just the way it was done. And I would have told you that was an incredible accomplishment. You know, there's like 440 major manufacturing corporations that license the portfolio now, and it's on billions of devices. But what I now realize is that incredible patent portfolio, even though it was part of the dot-com crash and I got my ass handed to me about 9/11 and everything else, that I realized all of that work, understanding how machine-readable codes react when printed on paper, when scanned, used, seen, utilized by machines to either retrieve information, verify information, connect to information, tally information, or resolve information. I realized, like, holy shit, you know, 25 years of doing that has everything to do with what we're doing right now. Paper, ballots, the codes on the ballots. How do the ballots talk to these machines? How do they count your votes, right? And then if you were to look at the last 6 years of my development life, I've been working on advanced healthcare down to the, if you want to call it the nano level, looking at it with advanced, digital imaging and having digital imaging make major breakthroughs in healthcare. And then I sit here today and look at this and go, holy smokes. This is why I was supposed to do this. If you know my backstory, you know that, you know, I come from a highly dysfunctional family, but it was an FBI agent in the 70s that changed my life when I was given basically FBI research books as a kid. And I was studying forensics then, didn't know it. I wasn't reading fiction books or comic books, man. I was like the hiding out nerd. And I had all these incredible investigation books and what became the field of forensics and stuff. And that's what I was enamored with. And many of you know, I didn't really read fiction books until I became an adult. My first fiction book was John Grisham's The Firm. And then the other one was Alex, whatever his name was, that wrote Roots. It was Broadcast News, Alex Haley, right? And only then did I start reading fiction. And it was probably only like a decade and a half ago that I really learned to enjoy fiction. Everything was biographies or technology books or whatever the case may be, you know, actual facts book. Then I realized here today, I realized, holy smokes, everything I've ever done has led to this watershed moment. Now, I think right now, this is the best time in history to be alive. Think about it. If you were, and you know I study ancient history and exploration and stuff, and if you were an ancient citizen and your world just crapped out on you, you wouldn't really know why. You would just have an invading army came in and took over everything and you were subsumed. You'd have very little details of what really went on. And so we've seen, you know, classic civilizations go down the pooper because of, you know, just here they go, but nobody really knows why. And they try to ascribe stories to it or what really happened. Or, I mean, it's just like us trying to say that, you know, Mesoamerica was obliterated because of deforestation. That's like picking it out of your ass. You don't really know, right? You don't really have the facts. And I use this as an example because archaeology is a great example. I could make a case that if we jumped 1,000 years in the future, I could see some young student in archaeology presenting a paper and says, I know why this planet died and had to start all over. And the student would stand up and deliver their dissertation, and they would say, I've done a study, and I have found that this planet drowned in oil. And they go, oh, really? Well, how can you prove it? And he or she would go, well, we were digging trenches and we came up on about a foot and a half of oil drenched compacted sediment. And it had all this gravel and small rocks in it and then big rocks below. And we believed there was a great flood of oil that choked the entire planet. And you would show them the pictures or whatever they use in the future, right? And it'd show it to them, and they'd go, wow. And they go, well, how do you know it encompassed the whole planet? How is this not just in a regional extinction level event? And the researcher will go, well, we kept on trenching. And once we found it, we went along the trench. And they kept on going for miles and miles. First 10 miles, then 50 miles, then 100 miles. There were thousands of miles. In fact, this dousing encircles the planet on all lands, which means all the land must have been up. And it must have been a cataclysmic oil event, a great flood of oil. And of course, that person would get incredible accolades because that's what the technology would show. Now, what I just described to you could be described as a extinction level event. You know, if our planet got covered in a foot and a half or a foot or 6 inches or whatever of oil and gravel, and it just kind of slushed across our planet, of course, it would kill everything that we live on, right? But if I told you that archaeologist in the future just found a fucking blacktop road, it would kind of change your view, wouldn't it, if you had the real information? That what the archaeologist locks the context to was they actually stumbled upon what we call a blacktop road or a surface road. And of course, they're going to run for miles. And of course, they're going to have all this oil conduit to it. And of course, it's going to look like compacted cement with oil because that's how we build our roads. And of course, it's going to look like all these gravels were flooded there with big boulders underneath. That's how we build our roads. And so my point there is to help you understand the second right answer. And sometimes you don't have all the information, but we are the, and this is why it's the greatest time in the world to live right now. It's because we do have the information. We now know almost in real time what goes on around the globe and why it happens. And in fact, we've gotten so smart and so tuned in to the reality that the news keepers and gatherers have decided they have to block us from it because they can't have us that knowledgeable. Do you understand that's where the term the Dark Ages comes from? Do you think a cloud came over the Mediterranean, the ancient Levant, and early Christendom, Roman Catholicism, and that was the Dark Ages because it was always rainy and dreary like Monty Python, and that's what the Dark Ages were? No. The Dark Ages was because the church forbid people to learn to read, to write, and learn. They did not want them to understand what was going on. They didn't want them to have dreams, and they didn't want them to dream of faraway lands where they could go find their riches because they needed you in their damn kingdoms to provide servitude. That is and was the definition of the Dark Ages. Do you know why there's monsters on ancient maps of the ocean? Like when you're coming out the Gates of Hercules in Portugal and Spain and right there the tip of Africa, you know, where the Rock of Gibraltar and everything is. Do you know why there's monsters outside there? Because at that time in the Roman civilization in the ancient Levant, which is the Mediterranean, they didn't want you going out there so you could realize there were great other vast lands with riches. So how did they keep you from doing it? They convinced you there were fucking monsters out in the water and you'd get eaten. And everybody was afraid of it, took it as absolute truth, and didn't venture out. You have to understand that's exactly what's going on right now. This is the new Dark Ages. They are putting monsters on the maps. Or more importantly, they're taking social media trying to convince you everything that's trying to tell you the truth, that they're monsters. And this is why you must decide where you come down on election integrity. This is why you need your eyes open. And so this is where I'm going to ask you what type of patriot you are. If you're a patriot that shares information, absolutely fantastic. Hallelujah. That's the way it should be. You should share it, share it, share it. You should not be afraid of it. Secondly, are you a patriot that supports the causes for everybody who supported the audits? Thank you so very much. It doesn't happen without you. Governments have millions, tens of millions of dollars to do this, but they won't fund the audits because they say they don't have money. That's how they psych the people out. It can't be done. They make it cost prohibitive. In Colorado, people want to look at the ballots. The local establishment there says, okay, we want $150,000, and then you can look at your own ballots. It's punitive. But the point I use is sometimes it's up to the people. Here's where we are now, and here's the battle I'm fighting. Yes, it's about the audits. But when I realize as a technologist, all of this can be changed. All of this can be fixed by using the best technology there is in paper, and I'm not talking about encoding it to satellites and any of that horseshit, but this paper can be non-hackable, non-duplicatable, and non-rip off your vote. And all these broken apart air gaps machines are total horseshit because they're computers and can be hacked. And it can be a simple machine that counts your vote at the exact time you put it in, and if something's wrong, tells you right then and there so you fix it. All of that can be done. You know why it hasn't been done? Because the system doesn't want it done. And so this is where I ask myself, when I sit here today, knowing I can fix this, I realize that it probably is going to have to be outside the system. You can't go in and get funding and change the voting system when big corporations have hooks in it and they want to take it over or take it public, because then they'll just know that, okay, they did a few elections right and then it had hooks in it. Americans back into belief and then take it over again, do nefarious crap. So I'm beginning to wonder, and this is where I'm trying to find where the lines are and trying to find information. If we're going to change the voting system in America, is it going to have to be that Americans do it? Is it going to have to be a million citizens getting together and pitching in $50 to make sure it happens, to knock the politicians on the head with it and say, here it is, here's how it works, do it and see it? Because see, once you can demonstrate it, once you show it works, then you can give a report card to your senators, your congresspeople, right? Your representatives. Because if they walk away from it, you know they don't want the system fixed, if they can be shown that it's fixed. And so the things I struggle about that I want to give you a peek into with this is, wow, maybe this is a people's project. I don't know. Are there patriots out there like that that understand we have to recruit and put together patriots that want to make a difference and make this happen? Because it's a big project. It's tens of millions even just to contemplate and get done. You know, it's probably a $20 million project to begin with. But when we think about the things we do and the things we support, is that really a big thing? Is it really more important to make sure we ensure our future than we have that extra $50 for a shirt or a new fishing pole or whatever the case may be? These are the things I think about. I think about what can be created and how this voting can be fixed. And then I struggle with, man, how do you do that knowing that the big buyers for stuff like this, if I do it, who bought my patents, or Google or Microsoft, man, if it was done and they buy them out, is that actually even letting it go back into the bad hands? So I think about daily, is this really a project for the citizens? Is this really something that should belong to America? Should this be done, created and funded, and become the property? The shareholders are Americans, not corporations, but Americans. And that's what I think about. And I'd like you to think about it and give me your feedback, because that's where my mind is. And I truly believe I can fix this and we can make a difference. Send me your thoughts. Let me know what to think. Maybe help me plan this out. But we're probably at that dividing line now. Share this. Thanks a lot, guys. Love you. Till next time.
That went by fast.
Thanks for being with us.
You've been listening to Jovan Hutton-Pulitzer live. And as Jovan says, if you can dream it, you can do it. Speaking of doing it, let's do this again next time. Find Jovan on all social media.
Or search hashtag Jovan Hutton-Pulitzer.
Or by visiting jovanhuttonpulitzer.org.
Until next time.